A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector." I can still remember where I was when I was first called out on it. It was in the dean's office, and I was a graduate student. I'd gone to see the dean because she'd so often helped me to fix my problems. The two courses that overlapped on my schedule, a snafu in my research assistant paycheck. This time, it was a professor. Something had occurred in a class that was just bizarre. Behavior that seemed so inappropriate, and I was uncomfortable. "Did you talk to him about it?" she asked. "No," I said. "Why would I?" "Because before I hear about it, he should have the opportunity to explain himself directly to you." I asked, you think I should go talk to him in person?" "It would be the Christian thing to do," she replied. Well, here was a whole new way of looking at the world for me. It would be the Christian thing to confront someone, furthermore, someone with authority. "But he's a professor," I said. "So," she replied. There was a long pause. "Do I have to?" "No, but I think it would be a kindness to him if you would. I doubt he knows you're even upset about it, and it'd be good information for him to have. If afterwards it seems unresolved and you want to come back, you can, but I won't get involved until you've spoken directly to him first." Suddenly, I wasn't sure that I cared that much about the incident anymore. Maybe it wasn't that bad. Well, not so bad that it merited a face-to-face conversation. I didn't like what had happened, but I liked the idea of discussing it with him even less. Maybe it'd be best to just let it drop. Maybe it'd be best to find someone else to talk about the incident with, like someone who would be on my side. But after the dean's words, how could I? She'd nailed a dynamic that was omnipresent in my life, but that I'd never had pointed out to me before. Triangulation. The term triangulation appears to have first been coined by an American psychiatrist named Mercy Bowden, a professor at Georgetown University in the 20th century. He used it to describe the propensity for two persons in a conflicted relationship to draw in a third person in hopes of easing the tension. Now, why do we triangulate? Well, the most obvious answer is that it's easier than the alternative. Most of us hate conflict. If given the option of chicken pox or speaking directly and honestly with someone that we're upset with, we'd vote for chicken pox. We rationalize our avoidance by saying things like, "It wouldn't do any good," or "It's not worth bringing it up," or "It'll blow over." But the reality is that direct conversation's awkward. It's anxiety-producing. And besides, conflict makes us feel lousy not just about the other person, but about ourselves. The more times I can tell a story aloud from my point of view to someone sympathetic, the clearer it becomes in my head as to why I did what I did and what my intentions really were. And the messy details about me get sanitized. I want the third party to tell me that I am not the problem, so that I can begin to live comfortably with myself again. So if triangulation is a creative way by which we can avoid having uncomfortable conversations with each other and still have some influence in the community, why stop? Because triangulation comes with tremendous cost. As the dean first made clear to me, it violates human dignity because it doesn't give one the opportunity to explain one's own actions or to hear what's being said about them. It violates the principle of subsidiarity that encourages problems to be addressed at the lowest level possible by the people most directly involved before others are brought into the picture. And finally, it has costs for the wider community. It spreads mistrust and discontent and often division, creating a toxic atmosphere. Problems that aren't addressed and solved, but linger like a low-grade fever. As a colleague once commented after I'd literally vented all my irritations, "Anne, you want your anger to be like a coursing stream and not a finely diffused mist." In today's gospel, Jesus offers a new model for healthy conflict within the Christian community. Go and speak directly with the person with whom you are upset. They have the right to hear you first before anyone else. If afterwards it remains really problematic, then you can ask for outside help having the conversation, but even then, you need to be there speaking for yourself, directly to the party, not behind their back. This is a hard thing to do, but it is the gospel thing to do. Once upon a time, my dean let me know it was time to start dealing with these conflicts directly, with charity and curiosity. And believe it or not, I did go, knees quaking to knock on my professor's door. He answered and we talked. I don't really remember the content of that conversation anymore. Indeed, I don't really remember the nature of the original argument, but I remember that I tried something new that day and that something inside me got a bit braver that day. And that's made all the difference in the world.